I was a raging alcoholic. I had no money. I had no real skills. And I was starting to believe that I couldn't even get back to who I really am. Mm-hmm. I was starting to believe that this is just me now.
Stick around. It's going to be a good one.
Welcome to The Comeback Show. My name is Stacey Wallace, and we, in The Comeback Show, we basically sit down with CEOs, thought leaders, entrepreneurs. We talk shop on how they've staged epic comebacks, even after dynamic setbacks. If you're listening today, then we want to also invite you to our community, the Comeback Community. You can just pull out your phone there and text the word comeback to 800-355-2088. Stay in the conversation. Make sure you get alerted when we're doing giveaways. That's comeback. Text the word comeback to 800-355-2088. And of course, if you like what you're listening to today, please help us get the word out. Make sure that you like, subscribe, leave us a review, and of course, share.
I am very, very excited about this morning because I've got a ray of sunshine. I love it when we've got in the studio folks that just brighten up the room just when they come in. And I can tell you, just by the moment Martha opened up that big, beautiful smile, I could tell this is going to be a great show. This morning, we're going to be talking to author, motivational speaker. Get this. It goes on. Author, motivational speaker, high vibing mama, business coach, growth strategist. She's also a social media maven, a powerhouse in that area. She has literally taken the internet by storm. She's been featured with Oprah in Oprah's magazine, Fast Company, Cosmopolitan, Shape, you name it. She's been there. And I am so excited today. We're going to be talking about all things business development, all things vibe and mama. Get ready. It's going to be a great show. Welcome Martha Krejci to The Comeback Show.
Oh man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I dig your energy too. So this is going to be a whole lot of fun.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I'm loving the shirt. Be a nice human. Can we just go there for just a second? Be a nice human. Well, Martha, you live with this effervescent joy, kindness, generosity, and really you're living your life out loud, helping as many people as possible, making life better for others. That's actually our brand promise at BoxOx, is to make life better for many people. Say, how can you do that with voice and text marketing? How can you do that by creating SMS communities? We do it because we're connecting people. And when you connect people, people are nicer, they're kinder, they're more generous with one another. And you find, instead of me, myself, and I, you find collaboration. And that's how we have time expansion. So Martha, welcome to the show. All right, girl, let's go back. Tell us about Martha. I know we're going to get to Martha today, but I want to go back to Martha, the little girl, the dreamer. Tell me about Martha.
Oh, man. Well, if we want to talk about the dreamer, so I grew up on a farm in the Midwest. So in central Illinois, I'm a farm girl, right? Like, we had the cows, we had the pigs, we had the chickens. I could sit and watch chickens for hours, but that's another story. So I love chickens. But what the dreamer in me, I don't know how many people received the, what is the catalog? Oriental Trading. Do you remember that catalog?
Yes.
It still comes.
Yeah.
I still get it. We never actually bought anything from that. I don't know why we received the catalog, but we would get it. And when I was a kid, I would take that magazine into my room. I would sit down and I would dream out having we had a nature preserve across the street from our house. So like nobody could build anything on it. So it was like this big empty property. And I would dream out setting up basically a theme park across the street from my house using all of the Oriental Trading stuff. So I would say, well, I need 5 of these, and then I'll need to, you know, like, it's all this kind of cheapy stuff. I was just going to create a theme park, apparently. So that was like the beginning of me starting to like create in my mind. Now, did I make a theme park? No, I did not make a theme park, but it's where my mind started believing, like, here's a thing, here's how we construct things, and then you start making them. So now I was, you know, 7 or 8 years old, so I didn't have the resources to make it so just yet, but that's where everything started for me, was starting to really dream and having the time, honestly, because there are some people that they choose to complain about their upbringing. Like maybe, I wasn't a single child, but my brothers and sisters are much older. Like the one that's closest to me is 13 years older than me. So they were gone out of the house and I was kind of by myself and my parents worked a lot. And so I was by myself a lot. And I could choose to look at that and say like, nobody was around me and woe is me. But really what I see out of that is that there was a lot of creativity instilled in those moments because I didn't have anything else to do. So what am I going to choose to do? Right. I didn't have like distractions. I had to choose something. And so that's what I did with my time. So that's the little girl version.
So, first off, this morning before I hopped on with you, I was at my neighbor's who have a garden, chickens, cows, horses. We have property out here in East Texas, and we just got the property, so we don't have any livestock on it yet. But this morning I was having the chicken and rooster conversation this morning, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing for people that do grow up outdoors or do grow up where nature or animals are around them, that you see things that other people don't see, and you also appreciate things other people may not appreciate. I remember that same magazine. I also remember Highlights. Did you ever get Highlights?
Yes, I get it for my daughter too. I have a 6-year-old.
Oh, you do?
And I get it for her. She always gets excited whenever it comes.
Those were my two favorites because same thing. Actually, we didn't have a lot of money. My dad was in ministry. So looking at the Oriental Trading Company was like, oh, someday I want to have this and I want to have that. And then of course, Highlights, finding all the hidden pictures. That's awesome. So yes. You grow up, tell me about how did you get into becoming this boss lady that is really helping shape and form businesses, social media calendars, and really helping them get their voice out to the world?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to mention a poignant distinction in my life, like a turn in my life that took me from, because I told you about how I was raised, and that seems like on paper, I should have been okay. Right? Like if you hear that story, you're probably like, ah, she was probably all right the rest of her life. No, she wasn't. So after I graduated high school, I started going down a not great path. And it was just what we do in our lives. There's different steps that we take. And in our lives, what we start doing is we have these very small side steps and it's very incremental. So it can be bad and it can be good, but any way you slice it, you're taking these small steps. And then eventually you look back and the path is like over here. You have really veered off course. And so for me, it was incremental negative steps that I was taking in my life. And then all of a sudden, one day, I was sitting on my couch in somebody else's basement post-divorce. I had nothing except for our rescue dog, and she lived with me. I kept her, but I was a raging alcoholic. I had no money. I had no real skills. I worked in the hospitality industry, so I was a server and a bartender for like 13 years. And by the way, to all the people in the hospitality industry, hats off, man. That is boot camp all day long. And you develop amazing interpersonal communication skills in that. So I'm just saying, don't forget that you get so much from that. But I remember sitting on the couch one day in somebody else's basement because I couldn't afford my own place. And thank God they gave me a roof over my head. But I remember sitting on the couch and I was staring at the wall and I was just thinking like, man, where did things go off the rails? Right? Like, and can I even get back on track? Also, where is the track? You know, like there were so many things that I was starting to believe. This is a scary thing. I was starting to believe that I couldn't even get back to who I really am. Mm-hmm. I was starting to believe that this is just me now. This is just like who I am. I had just lost my job, no money, all of the things, you know, left the marriage that was abusive. So kudos on leaving that marriage. But man, down and out doesn't even describe it. And so the turning point actually had nothing to do with me. The turning point was this man, honestly, that came into my life, who is now my husband. But he did this thing, and I call it speaking life. He spoke life over me. He saw in me things I could not see in myself, right? he was telling me things about myself that he saw. He was like, you're brilliant. You're, you know, all of these different mm-hmm. things. And then at first I was like, that's cool, man. Like, I don't know where you're, I don't know why you're saying this. You're just being nice to me, you know, like, and I appreciate it, but I don't believe you. But eventually in his consistency, I started to believe it and I started to see it in myself. And so that's something that I really like. That's a message I would love to get far and wide, is that for mm-hmm. us, it's our responsibility for the other people in our worlds around us. We're placed where we're placed for a reason, right? And to be able to speak life over the people around us as well, call out their value. Even if you're frustrated, call out the value instead of what they've, you know, done to tick you off or whatever. But anyway, getting back to the story, he started doing that. I started changing. And then I, instead of, you know, staying in the restaurant industry where I was like, I'm going to get what I called at that point, a big girl job. And that was with a tech company. So I worked for GoDaddy for a little over 5 years in the leadership. And I started learning a lot of stuff there. But really what I did was I was taking a lot of calls from people. I was helping people with their businesses, small business owners. And so I was starting to see what their needs were, and especially the needs that could not be met by any company, really. So what are the things that they're needing? Where are they confused at? Where are their stuck points? And so that's mm-hmm. where I started developing. And just because I would always go over and above, I was developing a skill set at that point. Just by listening and consulting and helping people out, I was developing that skill set. And then one day I got a video from my husband, and it was... I remember I was sitting in a cubicle. It was like a carpeted cubicle. It smelled like the 60s. And it had all of my little, you know what I'm talking about, right? I had all of my little motivational quotes that got me through the day in my, you know, in my cubicle, and a picture of my daughter and my family. And I got this message, and it was a message from Mike, and it was a video, and I could see the screenshot of the video, you know, the first frame. And it was my daughter on her feet. And I was like, oh my goodness. I went in the bathroom, because I couldn't take my phone out technically on the call for. So I went in the bathroom and I looked at it and I watched as my daughter took her very first steps. Right. And it was like the most bittersweet thing ever. Cause I was like, oh, I'm so proud of her. But then I quickly realized her experience is those, she's probably not going to remember it, but I do. Her experience was that she was walking toward a phone instead of walking into my arms. And then everything just went, every story about how my family meant everything to me, every story about how I wanted more for my daughter. I wanted to prove that she could be more. I wanted to be the model of what life could look like for her. All of that crashed down on me because I realized they were stories and I wasn't living them. And so mm-hmm. in that moment, I was like, I can't do this. Because I just had like this sentence that kept going through in my head, like, not right or wrong, but this is going to keep happening. Do you want this life? Because you're going to keep missing these things. And I ultimately said no. Got home, put my purse and the keys on the counter, turned to my husband after bracing myself for a good argument, right? Because my husband is very factual and, you know, logistics. And he's like the guy that holds a string to my balloon. And he's the grounded one. And I'm like, woo. And all the way home, I braced myself for an argument because I was like, this ain't going to go well. And I got home, put everything down, looked at him, and I said, Mike, I'm going to quit my job. We're going to start an agency from home. We know how to do this. We know how to serve people. We know what people need. I'm going to be home here with Nora. Like we're going to do this thing. We're going to make it happen. I can't do this anymore. And instead of any argument at all, none, zero argument. Instead, what he said to me was, if you don't do this, you're not only doing yourself a disservice, but everybody around you. And then mm-hmm. I was like, who is this guy? Because that's not at all anything he would ever say. And then that's how I knew that I had to do this, because I was like, there's something else at work here and I need to do this actual thing. So that was kind of a long-winded way of saying, but that was like, those were the turning points in my own mm-hmm. story to then just start propelling out.
Well, I have a saying that I say, alignment precedes assignment. And so many times, you know, going back to what you said, just about people in the service industry or people that are serving others or people that are in hospitality, a lot of times we go through a season where we're like, well, I'm just a mom, or I'm just a waitress, or I'm just a, and it's that just a season that we underestimate that what is getting started in us, he who began a good work in us, God is like, he knows way back. Even when we were little kids, and we have tons of folks here that we hear their stories. They've been molested. They've been bullied. They've been, you know, lived in poverty. They've seen the chickens underneath the slats of their bed, of their house. There's such value in suffering. And then there's such progress when you can get to a place going from income. Income is where you're just making enough. And that's usually where you're in a J-O-B. You know, you've heard people say just over broke. Just robbing Peter to pay Paul, just trying to get enough to pay the bills. And then you move into a wealth strategy, which is usually about everything under gravity. It's about cars. It's about houses. It's about investments. It's about bonds. It's about stocks. But then you move into abundance. And from income to wealth to abundance, it's almost like three lifetimes. And if you're still in income, don't grow weary. Don't get upset. Don't fall apart because you're just not there yet. Look for the pivot. And that's what you did, Martha. You found that pivot. It made it happen to you, but nothing happens to us unless it's supposed to get through us. And so then comes the alignment, right? Alignment that precedes the abundance assignment, not just the wealth assignment. It's in fact, some people can skip over, I've got to have wealth before I have abundance. Some people can go straight to abundance. And I love that because scaffolding of who's surrounding you makes or breaks you. The voices that say, Martha, you're beautiful. You're actually very intelligent. You're strong. I believe in you. Even before you married him, he said that to you. But then in that pivotal moment when you were jumping into your destiny, you had that alignment that said, yeah, yes, you can. We got this. You are powerful. And I love that. Even today, and by the time this show is over, I'm going to have you say that over the people that are watching, because some people don't have that alignment yet. They're still hanging out with the same people. They've got the same scaffolding around their building. So their building's never going to get bigger than what it is unless they're willing to make some of those changes. What would you say to somebody right now that's still in that mindset of I'm just a?
I would look around. I would look around at why you're there. And what you're actually learning in that space. It's never, the time you spend in those spaces is never wasted. And I've spoken with so many people, and I'm sure you have as well, that whenever you're out of it, out of that season, you're always able to look back and see precisely why that had to happen in order for you to get to X, Y, and Z. Now, if you're not looking for the growth in that season, if you're not looking for the why and the gold nuggets of where you are, my belief is you may sit there a little longer than you need to. So if you're looking for the good in those situations, and some of it's even, you know, I'll have people that they want to quit their 9-to-5 job and they want to start their own business, but they just can't quit yet. And they're real frustrated that they can't quit yet. And to them, I say, look around. Who are you being placed near right now? Mm-hmm. Who are you? Whose life are you affecting right now? How can you show up in the environment that you're in as the new person you choose to be and then start to change things from the inside out, even within another organization? Because all it is practice. Mm-hmm. It's practice. And then it's also a bit of mission work. I mean, if we really look at it that way, is modeling this new behavior as to where you are. And it can even be fun. If you like to change who you are, show up in the same environment as this new version of yourself and then see what other people do, see what other people say, and if other people are affected. It's really interesting to start watching that stuff, but it'll allow you to grow faster, in my opinion, because you're kind of creating that change by becoming a new version of yourself in the same environment. You're creating the change already. Like, some interesting stuff is going to start happening. But if you don't look for the growth and you stay the same version of yourself in that environment, you could maybe be there a lot longer than you want to be.
Hey, this is Sammy Smith, and I produce The Comeback Show. You've just heard part one of this episode, but I've got some good news. There's more to come. Stay tuned and be on the lookout for part two coming up next.
If you're loving The Comeback Show and you've gotten any value from the content we're sharing for your business or life, would you mind doing us a favor? Leave us a comment when you listen. Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And leave us a review. Our listener reviews actually help our ratings and continue to cause our show to reach more people. Thank you again for listening. And remember, it's your comeback time.